who God is like, what he's like. We're going to talk about actually what it's like to hear him. Because a lot of times what happens is we talk about hearing God and we don't really say what we mean by that. And so people are like, well, what is that? That sounds weird. And I would have done the same thing. So I just want to kind of debunk a little bit around it. When I say hearing God or God said, I do not mean that I'm hearing an audible voice. So a lot of times people think, well, if God speaks, it's going to be, they think they're hearing audible voices or something. I'm not hearing that. There are, God can do that. He still does that, but it hasn't happened for me. So usually what I mean is that it's the kind of communication that you read about in Romans 8:16, and in that little mention of the verse, the Apostle Paul is writing there, and he says, the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are the children of God, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. And in that little verse, he just kind of slides in the how this happened. The Holy Spirit inside of us, who indwells us, testifies or speaks or talks. Testifies like being in court and saying, this is the truth. Talks to our spirits, so it's happening inside of us. It's not happening outside of us. So it's a Holy Spirit to us, inside our hearts and minds kind of communication. And this is so hard to quantify. And it's not like I have exact scientific words where I can say, here's exactly how this happens. I wish I did. So there is kind of, but then I pulled back at one point when I was trying to understand that and find words for it and thought, okay, Connie, the idea that God's Spirit actually indwells us, which is scriptural, that in and of itself is a mystery. So my theology has mystery embedded in it that I fully accept. So if he's going to indwell me, if the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, whom Jesus said right before he left the earth, the Holy Spirit will take from the Father and he will communicate to you. I think that's John 16 or John 14. But the Holy Spirit will take from the Father and tell you things of the Father's that you can't hear from me right now. So Jesus is saying, this is going to happen. And that's kind of how it's happened. And so when I've quizzed people, I'm like, okay, when you hear God, what is it like? And sometimes they can't quite put words to it. Often they can't. So I'm going to do my best to put some words to it so that you have a little bit of an idea. And you have some words for it. So there's an expectation often that if God's going to speak, it's going to be in a booming voice of God. And it's going to come in like this. And it's going to have this big resonating thing with it. And we're going to know 100% that was God. Okay, so that's just not going to happen. And if you hear my voice like this for you, then be really frightened. That is really frightening. If I heard that in my head, I would be really frightened. So often what happens is when I say, I heard God, what happened is a thought came through my mind. And I'm doing this with my hand because it's almost like it's happening in the back of my mind and not necessarily front and center. So sometimes it's a strong thought that cuts straight through my mind. Sometimes it's a bit of a waffling kind of thing that's a little bit back here, and it feels more like a suggestion or an idea. So sometimes there's an idea that when people say they heard from God and they have all these sentences that it was just being written out for them like some kind of ticker tape, and sometimes that happens, but sometimes it's not that clear. So I just want you to know that when you hear people say that, what they're usually using the shorthand God said is for that process of a thought from God coming into their hearts or their minds in some way. Sometimes people will describe it, sometimes they feel something, often they don't. If you feel something, they might talk about it as a nudge or a poke or a heaviness or a knowing. But that doesn't always happen. So sometimes, but not always. So it's not like you can say, well, if this happens, then I know it's God, and if that doesn't happen, it's not God. Basically, what happens is you get to know your Father, and he knows you, and he's going to communicate with you in a way that's going to be customized to you quite often. That's not going to be the same necessarily as what happens for someone else. So don't get wrapped up in how it's supposed to happen. So I'm just giving you some ideas of kind of what it might be like. People also often have the feeling that if it's God, I'm going to know 100%. And if I don't know 100%, I'm getting it wrong. So they are either it's 100% God or zero God. And unless I'm absolutely sure, it's wrong. Now, the truth is, there are times when I'm like, you know what? I think that was 80% God, but I think 20% of that was me. I think my thoughts were mixed up in there. And so there'll be times when I think that was from God, and I'll write something down that I think was from him. And I'll put a note beside it of not sure. But instead of saying not sure and going away, I just make a note of not sure and I keep going. So you could say, oh, I'm not sure, therefore I can't do this, versus I'm not sure, but God is good. God spends time with me. He's intimate. He's wise. He's sensible. He's supportive. He's dependable. He's faithful. He's a provider. He's a protector. You can trust him. Just think about how when a dad is helping a little kid learn to walk, the little kid falls down and the dad doesn't go, well, that's that. You're never walking again. Okay, fine. You can't walk. Don't try that again. He's like, no. Okay, you fell down. Here, let's stand up. Let's try again. Oh, you took two steps. That's the father you have. So expect that when you lean in to want to talk to him, this is the kind of God you have. He wants to talk with his kids. He wants to talk with his kids. So there's going to be a learning process, and often there's going to be a discerning process. Well, there always is a discerning process. But feel free to take some risks, especially as you're beginning. Feel free to get it wrong, and you're going to need other people probably to help you discern. That's good. That's right. We do this in community. We don't do this off in isolation. That's when you get really weird, is when you go off by yourself in isolation, and you just get all kind of weird stuff, and you don't let anybody else into it. So we're going to do this as a church in process. There are people here in this church who will help you. So don't feel like, oh, I have to get 100% right, or I just can't do this at all. So feel free to be a learner. Feel free to be a learner. And you will grow over time. A few years ago, I was up at Snow Mountain Ranch in Winter Park, Colorado, which is a massive YMCA complex up there. And up in the mountains, glorious. And my brother and sister-in-law live and work up there at the complex. And so I was visiting them. And at the same time, my dad and stepmother were out there, and they were also volunteering. And so one morning, I'm out there, and I was volunteering there, so I was getting ready to go work in the craft shop that day. And I was at breakfast in the morning. I had my back. I was in the dining hall, lots of round tables. You know the clatter, like we just had here. You can't hear anything going on. The clatter, the conversation, the utensils, people, you know, laughing and shouting and talking, you know, dining hall, just picture it. I had my back to the whole thing. I was looking out the window at the mountains, and all of a sudden my head came up and I thought, my dad's in this room somewhere. And I was like, what did I just hear that made me know that? And I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I heard his laugh. I don't know if I heard his tone of voice. I don't know what I heard, but he's in this room somewhere. And I looked around and I scanned the room, and sure enough, clear across the room, he's sitting at a table with the senior volunteers, and they're talking and laughing over breakfast. And I just chuckled at that, and I went back and I thought, that's what it's like hearing God. Now, I know I've listened to my dad's voice for more than 50 years. I know what it sounds like. So I can catch a hint of a laugh or a hint of a tone of voice and know, oh, he's got to be in the room somewhere, because I've been doing, you know, Dad, and I've been talking to him for 50 years. So the longer you talk to your heavenly dad, your heavenly father, the more you'll begin to catch his tone of voice too. So even if you start out not quite knowing, be comforted. You're the kid learning to walk. It's okay. You can take a risk. You can take the next step. You're going to fall down. It's okay. The world won't fall apart. You'll get back up and you'll try again. So I just want to give you that feeling. The other thing I want to tell you on hearing God, because it often is not as clear as you might want, that thought that comes in, it might actually be in your own tone of voice or kind of have the sound of your own thoughts. Usually for me, it's cleaner and wiser and more sensible and dependable and all those things in my own thoughts. That's usually a good clue for me that it's not me, but it's God. because God's voice will have his characteristics. So what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Just call them out for me. Love. Yep. Self-control, faithfulness, love, joy, kindness, peace, all that kind of thing. So when the Holy Spirit speaks with you, that's what he's going to sound like. Loving, kind, patient, peaceable, full of self-control. He's going to call you to self-control. He's not going to be flailing wildly and wrecking your life in just wild ways. In God ways, he will, but not in wild ways. So just know that the things you see in Scripture that describe who God is and what he produces, that's what his voice is going to produce in you and feel and sound like. So even if you think, well, I'm not sure if that was me, run through those fruits of the Spirit. Did they have some of those fingerprints on there? Then that's a good indicator that just might be God. Now, another thing to remember, when you are just learning to hear God, man, this got me into trouble so often. So here's your phrase. Listen first, discern later. Listen first, discern later. A lot of us, especially people who tend to be analytical, you know who you are, you just chuckled. So those of us who tend to be analytical or who are steeped in a Western mindset are going to try to analyze while we're listening. And nothing shuts your listening down as much as that analytical voice just going, because you might go, oh, I think that was God. No, it's not. That can't be God. God doesn't speak. God's not going to speak to you. Was that really God? I'm not sure if that was God. That probably wasn't God. That was me. Yeah. Not that I do that or anything. That's what's going to happen to you. And I had to learn to listen first, shut that voice down just for the time being, and then discern later. Discerning is important, but discerning is not analyzing. And it's not skepticism, it's discernment. So cultivate discernment, but hand over skepticism, because skepticism says, I know better than God. I got this. I understand. You don't understand. We don't want to lean on our own understanding. We want to lean on God's understanding. But we do want wise, sensible, biblical discernment so that we hear God accurately. So listen first. If that voice is chattering at you, that's going to block you and your ability to hear. So what would often happen, and this often happens when I'm working with someone and we're going to hear for the first time, is I will say, well, why don't you ask God this question? And so they'll ask God the question, and then we'll wait a little bit, and I'll say, so what came to mind? Nothing. Didn't hear anything. But what was the first thing that came to mind? Oh, well, the first thing that came to mind was this. And so usually something did come to mind, but this chatter shut it down. Oh, that wasn't really God. You're not really hearing. You can't hear. God's not going to speak to you. What do you think you're doing? That's weird. That's weird. You can't do that. That's not God. And so they got a faint thought, and then they went straight into this. And that just fizzled. So what you want to do is take a risk that the thought might be God and write it down. So writing it down just means I'm gonna write it down. I'm not saying this is God. I'm not just writing it down doesn't mean God spoke to me and thus saith the Lord. It means I think this might be what I heard. And so you write it down. And then when you write it down, you have something to come back to for your discernment. So that's how you're going to listen first and then discern later. There was a question somewhere. Was it you? I don't know if you can hear that. He said he was always doing that, and God told him, your mind is very good. Just thank it and tell it to be quiet now. And it works. I like that. Dear mind, thank you for your input. Could you just be quiet now? And we'll come back to you later. So listen first, discern later. And often when you get yourself balled up, I can't hear, I can't hear, I can't hear. Well, of course you can't hear when you're doing that. You couldn't even hear me speaking if you were doing that. So when you find yourself in that, just thank your mind. Thank you, mind. Could you just go sit in a corner for it? Not that you want to be stupid, but could you just, you know, pipe down for a bit. We're going to listen to God, and then we will come back later and discern. And so the writing down part, there's nothing you know, like, oh, if I don't write it down, God didn't speak. It just helps you focus, and it helps you come back later and discern, and it helps you have someone else help you discern. Because you can go to someone like Lori, who's been teaching communicating with God, and you can say, Lori, I think this is what I'm hearing from God. And you can show it to her, or you can show it to Buddy, or you can show it to Brian. And they can help you discern. Yeah, that really does sound like God. More often than not, when somebody has showed me that kind of thing and said, I think this might be God, I look at it and go, yeah, that feels like God. It really does. And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, you know, that really does have the God's fingerprints on it. So that's often what it's like. Now, some people are very visual, and so God will speak with them in pictures. So a picture will flash into their mind, or kind of on the imagination or the movie screen in your mind, a picture will just come into their mind, or an image or a scene of some kind. And then God will want to say something about that, or the picture will communicate something. Or they will see something in nature, and God will kind of elbow them. It's that nudge kind of thing where it's you notice it and he goes, see that? I want to say something to you about that. That's been happening to me this week. Where's Paulette? Where's Paulette? So it happened first on the first morning or evening, first morning that we were here. We're staying with the Tuggles. And Steve and Paulette feed the birds in the morning. And so we were sitting out in the patio and we were watching the birds. And faithfully, Steve and Paulette put out, how many of you feed the birds? Okay, and you probably have your favorite birds. And then Buddy was telling me that he does this on his patio too. Providing food for the birds and then sitting there and hoping they come and get it. And there's the special birds. Ask Paulette about her bird names. I love her bird names. My favorite are the group that she calls the Blues Brothers because they're blue. And they come down. So she knows all her birds by name, and they're her special birds. Buddy was telling me about his blue birds, and he wants them to get the food, and the big yellow ones and comes and scares them off. And he's like, you've got blue guys. You better get in there and get it. Come on, come on. I gave you food. Come get it. And God, when I saw that happening with Paulette, God kind of did this elbow thing with me, and he said, look how much attention and care they're giving to birds. And hoping that they come and show up and get the food and keeping quiet so that they don't scare them off and they know each one by name and they want them there. He said, that's what I want for my kids. That's how I am with my kids, heightened more and more. I know you all by name. I'm hoping that you'll come. I'm putting out food just for you and I'm keeping quiet so I don't scare you off. So if you're at all scared, I'm staying quiet so you can come. And I was like, oh, thanks, God. And so I was sitting there on the patio while that was happening, and I was grinning. Because just noticing it on my own, I didn't see that. It took God to kind of, I keep doing this, and that's so vague. I wish I had a better thing to tell you about what it was like. But it was one of those thoughts coming into my mind that I noticed. That's probably what the elbow was. And then I kind of interacted with him in my mind about that. So it was one of those quiet things, but I saw the picture, and then he kind of went, that's like me. And so then it fleshed out. So God might use a picture with you. He'll use scripture. He'll use all kind of things to get your attention. The biggest thing is, when he gets your attention in some way, turn it into a dialogue. Give him space to say something. I'll have people who'll say to me, oh, God always speaks to me through sunsets, and I'll say, what does he say? And they're like, say? He doesn't say anything. He just speaks to me through sunsets. And I'm like, well, he probably wants to actually say something to you. And what they mean is, I see sunsets and I know that's God's beauty and I feel a presence of God. And so I'm like, okay, so let's ask him. God, tell him what you think about the sunset. God, that's a gorgeous sunset. So sometimes when I've done that, I've seen a sunset, I notice it, I'm like, man, God, that's a great sunset. And I'll sense a thought come into my mind, I do great work, don't I? I'm like, yeah, you're really good at what you do. You do a great sunset, God. So you can turn the things that you notice into relationship with him. So that's a little bit of a description about what it's like to hear God. So the thing I would want to tell you is, if this is new to you, just risk. take a risk. There's people here who will help you. Feel free to be a learner. We all have to learn. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, but take a risk. And there are people here who help you get unblocked if you get blocked. Because you will get blocked. We're normal. We're human. And I have some of these blocks. They're written around the room. So I want you to look for orange Post-its around the room. There's 5 of them. So we're going to talk about what blocks us from hearing God. So if somebody can see a Post-it labeled 1 and pull it off the wall. What does the sign behind it say? So that's one of the things we can tell us that's going to block us from hearing God. That some Christians get this naturally, but I'm not one of them, so this stuff isn't for me. It's just for touchy-feely people. It's just for kind of those sensory people. It's just kind of for people who are a little bit flaky. That's not really me. I don't get it. Whatever. Not that, again, that I have ever said anything like that. Like I told you on Sunday, I had a horror of being flaky. I was proud of how rational I was. I was proud of how analytical I was. And Buddy should be grinning right now because he knows this. And so it really took me going, you know what? This is not just for some special Christians. This is not a something. And again, the reason is we have a Father. All of us have a Father. A relationship where there's no communication is a limited relationship. You can't get to know someone very well at all without communication. All of you, when you have children, you talk to your kids. You just do. Even a child where you know the child's doing all the right things and you're proud of them and you like their lives and you're happy with them, don't you still want them to call? Don't you still want to talk to them? So it's not just for special Christians, or it's not just for, oh, those extra sensitive Christians. It's for all of us. What is number 2? Does anybody know where number 2 is? I forget where I put number 2. It's here somewhere. No, it's not behind anything. It would be in plain sight. Okay, we'll go on to number 3, and if we find 2 at some point, we'll do number 2. Where's 3? Oh, 2 has surfaced. 2 is? Does anybody relate to that? See? I can't get quiet enough to hear God. Silence drives me nuts. Now, some of you may find this has shifted since you've come down to Panama, when your pace of life is slower here and things are a little bit more silent. But what happens when we get quiet and we quiet down is all the stuff in here starts chattering. And I can't tell you the number of times I haven't wanted to quiet down because either there was something lodged in my heart that I knew if I kind of get still a little bit, this thing is going to start surfacing that I'm not sure I want to actually look at or deal with. Or my mind just starts to help me out, and I will sit down, I want to get quiet, I want to talk to God, and 2 seconds later, I'm thinking about my grocery list and what I have to do that day. And it just happens. So we are not used to, a lot of times, kind of getting quiet enough, actually physically quiet enough, and also internally in our hearts quiet enough to kind of let God's voice through. So again, I don't have a fancy, quick, oh, this is easy way to get past this, but I do want to acknowledge this is real. And so I just want to say this is real, and this is part of the, it's part of the determination, quite frankly, of just saying, I will take a step and I will go through the awkwardness and the uncomfortableness that's going to happen, and just knowing it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable and maybe even a little bit distressing, but I can live through being uncomfortable, and so I'll do it because what's on the other side is good. I've even noticed, I don't know how many of you have noticed, since the advent of the internet and social media, my ability to focus has taken a nosedive. I just can't focus the way I used to because I'm used to kind of a lot of quick inputs and quick interactions. So I've even had to kind of for myself go, you know what, I have to be really careful with how I use the internet and how I use social media because I'm training my mind to flit from one thing to the other. I am training my mind to do something that's a way I don't want to live. And I've literally in the past year or two started saying, no, I'm going to shut off some of that so I can get back some of my ability to focus because I don't want to live with the attention span of a gnat, which is where I was headed because nothing good happens for me with the attention span of a gnat. So if you try to get quiet and hear God and your mind goes into gnat mode, it's okay. It's going to feel weird and distressing to sit there. Just live with the weird and distressing a little bit and just kind of push past it. If some heart stuff starts to surface, that's okay too. It's always been there. It's not going to go anywhere. So what I usually just say is, instead of ignoring that heart stuff, I'm like, God, I would love to hear you right now, but I'm angry. And so I just talk about the heart stuff instead of whatever else it was that I wanted to talk about. If it's the grocery list that comes in, just say, okay, well, grocery list, and write down your grocery list, and then go back to what you were doing with God. That's another reason why I do my conversations with God in writing, because when I get distracted, I can look back and see where I was and pick back up again, because I know I'm going to get distracted. And if I keep it all in my head, I will wander off, and I will be in left field before I know it, and I will never come back. So usually when I'm talking with God or I'm sitting down to hear God, I will have a way to write with me because it just helps me focus. So I will write down what I think I'm discerning from God, and then I will write down my response to him. Again, just because it helps me focus, not because it's any special, it has to be this way method. It helps you focus. And then I will stop. And I will wait to see what I might sense God replying to what I'm saying, and I'll write that down. Then I write down what I say. Then I write down, and that's the conversation with God. It's that simple. I do it on my laptop because my handwriting is terrible. Nobody can read it. I can't read it, and I can type much faster than I write. So I do it on my laptop, and I could open my laptop right now, and I could show you those kind of conversations that are in there. Sometimes it's on a post-it. I have people who will say to me, man, I hate to write. I'm not going to journal. I never journal. I'm like, I'm not asking you to journal. I'm just asking you, find a way to record what you sense God saying to you, because otherwise you're human and you will get distracted and you will forget. I just guarantee it. So find a way that works for you. I've had young moms say to me, I don't have time. I just don't have time. And I'm like, you have a refrigerator, slap some post-its on there, make a note when you walk by, and if you hear something from God, walk to your refrigerator and jot a note on the next post-it. Do what works for you. Don't try to become someone else. Don't try to become a journaler if you're not. If you are very verbal, then walk around, talk out loud, have your phone with you, and record it. So if you can't sit still, that's fine. If you don't want to be quiet, that's fine. Just find a way to help yourself focus, to help yourself record it, and to kind of keep it in a way that works for you. And there's lots of creative ways. If you need a creative way, I will help you find one. And what I want to do when I'm saying that is I don't want to put the emphasis on, oh, it has to be this one method or you can't hear from God. No. You're his kids. He's going to talk to you differently. It's going to be different with you. He's going to help you do this. So I don't want to find there's this mold. And if you get it right, then God will speak to you. And if you don't get it right, you're out of luck. God's bigger than that. He is so much bigger than that. He knows his kids. He will help you do it. And there's just practical ways you can do that. So number three, we found number three somewhere, I think. Oh, here's number three.
Listening to God is intimidating. I don't know what he'd say if I start
Aha, that's the one we started with. Listening to God is intimidating. I don't know what he'd say if I start to listen. This is so, so common. So common. Because one of the things that happens is when we start to communicate with God, he's so relational that he wants to love us. And you wouldn't believe how intimidating it can be to be loved. People often think, oh, he's going to correct me. So they expect him to say, you should do this, and you should do this, and you should do this. And then God surprises him and says, kid, I love you. And they're like, not sure I want to hear that. Was that really God? And so there's just a natural intimidation of what's God going to say. Either it's going to be too good, or it's going to be harsh, or it's going to be all kinds of things. Remember these walls. That's why we have these walls up here of who God is. Remember what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, goodness. Goodness. And God will correct us. I have not heard God say, Connie, you should do this, and you should do this, and you should do this, and you really need to shape up. Usually when something like that comes into my mind, that's me talking to me. I am full of, Connie, you should, Connie, you need to, and Connie, you have to. Now, God has transformed me, but what happens is he's saying, come closer to me, relate with me in this way, and in order to do that, you're going to have to transform in this way. And it's like, oh, wait, that was correction, wasn't it? But it's always in the context of relationship. So quite often, if you hear a tone of voice in your head like, man, you really messed up on that one, you just need to get your act together. I've just not heard God say that to someone in that way. And often when I ask someone, well, what are you hearing from God about that? Well, he just wants me to shape up. I'm like, okay, God might be speaking correction, but that's not the way probably that he's going to say it. That's probably them speaking to them. So there's just great safety in opening the door to God. There's great safety. Yes. The obedience is absolutely there. One of the things that's happened for me is that I can't fathom saying I love God and ignoring what he wants. I just can't fathom it. I just can't fathom saying on one hand, God, I love you and I want to enter this loving relationship with you, but I could care less about what you want me to do. I just can't go there. So the thing that's happened for me is as I've grown more and more in love with God, holiness has become so much more attractive. It's no longer this list of right and wrong of what I should do and have to do in order to get it right. It's like, wow, how can I possibly say I love God and ignore what he wants? So the verses like that have taken on a new meaning for me. It's almost like, well, yeah, I can't love him and not obey. I can no longer separate the two. It's just impossible for me. I think what often happens, especially with a lot of us, is that we understand what it means to obey because we can get it. You know, we can get what it means not to yell at someone and be angry with them and instead to feel patient with them. That feels like, okay, I understand that. So often we kind of go over, okay, I'm going to love God and I'm going to keep his commands and therefore I'm loving God instead of I'm going to actually enter into relationship with God in a way that shifts my actions. The other thing is, I was talking with a group of women, oh goodness, probably 5 or 6 years ago, and I asked them, well, how do you usually hear God? And one of them jokingly said, oh, he usually whaps me upside the head with a 2x4. That's how I hear God. That's how I know it's God. And I think a lot of us kind of have that idea. And again, I would put that back in the context of being a father and saying a good and loving father does not go around hitting his kids upside the head with a 2x4. There's a lot. And somebody will say, well, what about the Old Testament? All those prophetic books are just full of what sounds like God whapping people upside the head with a 2x4. You have to recognize that those prophetic books are written to people in long-term, centuries-old rebellion and turning their backs away from him. And God is getting louder and louder and louder as the consequences build, and it's getting closer and closer and closer to where he's saying, I have told you that if you don't obey me, you will be exiled. There will be consequences. And so he is not speaking to responsive kids doing their best, their very best, to engage with him and discern what he wants and do it. He is speaking to people who've turned their back on him and said, God, what God? I don't know. I'm fine. So keep in mind the context in which a lot of the Old Testament prophecy is written and the people to whom he's writing and the time frame over which it's written. So, yes, there's no way to separate love and obey. There's just absolutely no way to separate those two. I have been, I'm not sure I know how to express it, because I would have listened to myself 10 years ago. I couldn't have said this, but I cannot, I really have come to the point now of not being able to ignore what God cares about if I say I love him. It's like I can't do it. It's just like with a person. I can't love a person and just totally disregard what they care about. There's something that splits apart inside me if I try to do that. So I think that the more we get closer and engage with him, the more the obedience is definitely part of it. Buddy.
Yeah, if I can address that. God is love, not the possessor of love. You can't do anything that's not loving. And so when he does correct us or talk to us about initial obedience, it'll be very similar to what you just said. A lot of times he'll say to me, and y'all know me, I'm not an easy kid. If you were God, you wouldn't want a kid like me. And so there's a lot of times he'll say, God, that's not who you are. I know who you are. That's not who you are. And that's him saying, you need to obey me. You need to follow me. I feel loved. I feel known. I feel understood. So too many of us think, if you love me, you'll obey me. So if I'm not obeying him, he can say you're not obeying me. So don't say you love me. I've never heard him say that. So he corrects us and moves us to obedience and love. And he uses our personality and our bent. And he can talk to us in ways that just compels us to want to follow him.
There was somebody back here that had it. Yes. Ditto, buddy. Yes. Yeah. And the other thing we can't ignore here is that when we look back at the kind of families we grew up in and the kind of fathers we had, we will very often put that idea of fathering and parenting and obedience and measuring up onto God. And so if you had a father who did say to you, you measure up or I'm going to whoop you upside the head, and there are earthly fathers that do that, it's really hard to adjust your idea of fathering and say, wait a minute, that's not who God is. That's not who God is. So also be aware of, here's the kind of parenting I received. And one of the things you'll see happening, and this happened to me in a way that I just was startled. I wasn't prepared that God would do this. He began re-parenting me. He began re-parenting me according to this. And I had really good parents, but they weren't these walls. Just like all of us, no matter how good our parents were, they weren't all this. And they had areas where they failed us in some way. I guarantee it, no matter how good your parents were. And so God began re-parenting me. I discovered, for instance, and this was big, because I had grown up in a, and not that my parents put this on me, I'm not sure, I think it was just a collection of things that came to me where I kind of was in the, I need to get it right. I have to excel, I have to get it right, and that's how I'll be okay. If I'm really good at what I do, and if I measure up, and if I get everything right, then I'll be okay. I can't mess up. So that was kind of the mode I was in. And so the first time said God was saying to me, honey, I love you even if you're a mess. I didn't believe it. I thought I had to get myself clean and unmessed before I could go back to God and get his love. Now, I know Scripture doesn't say that, and I would never have told anybody that Scripture said that, but that's the way I was living. So I was living as if it were true. And there was one time I had a rental car. And so I'd gotten a rental car, and I was driving my rental car, and I was in parking lots not unlike these on out here, and I backed into somebody's Cadillac. Ooh, yeah, in my rental car. And it was just this, oh, not only is it an accident, not only did I get back into a car and somebody's Cadillac, but I'm in a rental car, which means paperwork and insurance. And the, I mean, just, you can picture it. It was horrible. But layered onto that, I had this, I can't mess up. And this is about as big and a public of a mess up right then, because I was going to have to fess up to all kind of companies. I was doing it for work, so I was going to have to get my work involved. And this is a public mess up. And so embedded in me, I had, I can't mess up. I can't do this, which is why I was just reacting all over the place, because I'd broken this rule that I can't mess up. And if I'm a mess, it's not okay. And I was talking with God about that that night, and I was just like, God, help, 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 help. And I was breaking all my dialogue rules, and I was just going on and on and on. And God will let you do that because he knows you need to sometimes. And I was like, okay. And then I finally stopped, and I was ready to listen. And he said, honey, this is an opportunity for you to learn what it's like to mess up and be loved at the same time. And he said, yeah, you messed up, but this is what we're going to do in this. You're going to see what it's like to be messed up and be perfectly loved in the middle of it. That changed my whole approach to that experience. All of a sudden, it was okay to be a mess. Yes. Yeah. So Buddy and I would probably have different answers to this. So I'm going to, Buddy, get in mind how you would answer this, and I'm going to answer as a woman. So her question was, I get into that, I can't hear, and why when I need to hear the most, I can't hear. And so, and I think you need to hear from both Buddy and I on this. I'm really not sure what he'll say, but I know it'll be slightly different from mine, and so we need to hear both of these, which is why I'm asking you. I had to learn that when I'm in that kind of state, it's like some kind of cartoon character just popped into mind that's running around in circles and there's dust just flying and the things are flying over it. That's what I'm like, things flying over my head. I can't hear anything. You could have a tornado siren going off when I'm in that mode and I can't hear it. So I've had to learn that trying to listen to God right in the middle of that is just counterproductive. Just to calm down, to let myself calm down, and often not to try. Because what happens is if I try to listen right in the middle of that, then what happens is, God, I really have to hear you, running around in circles. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I have to hear you. I can't hear you. Oh, my goodness, I can't hear God. Oh, God's not going to speak to me. Oh, my goodness, I'm on my own. And then he's like, honey, just calm down. Because once you get in that state, nothing productive is going to come out of that. So the calming down for me looks like sometimes just plain old physical activity. Go outside, take a walk, let your emotions calm down. Sometimes it really is just dumping all the things you need to say into a recorder or a journal or walking around saying it. Sometimes it is going back and maybe reading a psalm, just reconnecting with something that's there that you know is solid and sure. So that, have a way for calming down that works for you, and then move into hearing God. Trying to hear for me through that, it makes me feel like I can't hear, and then I get more upset, and then I can't hear even more, and then I get more upset, and then it takes me 5 days to come out of it. So don't do that to yourself. Don't do what I do. Buddy, what would you say? Yeah. So if you, I don't know if you could hear him, he was saying get a song. Ask God to give you a song that you can use. What did you say, psalm or? S-O-N-G. So get a song that you can use. And I have a couple of those on my iTunes, the songs that I use at that point. And they, let me just throw a little bit of neuroscience, a little bit I know. Don't get fooled that I know anything. This is all I know. So a little bit of neuroscience in here. When you listen to music, it snaps your brain into a different kind of thinking. So you can, it snaps you into a different portion of your brain. So music often will help calm you down just because it's you can't stay in that frenzied thought thing because that's happening in a different portion of your brain. So if you do something physical, if you do something especially outdoors that's physical, if you listen to a song, it's going to help snap you out of that or at least get you into a different mode. I have a couple of those songs that I use, and sometimes when I'm especially just thinking, I can't hear God, I will use a song like that. One of my favorites is by Janis Jernigan. It's called, Can I Sit With You a While? And it's just saying, somebody saying to God, I just want to sit with you a while, and sometimes I just need to sit there a while, and that song is saying for me what I can't say for myself in the moment. So it's very useful. Yes.
Father as friend. So my question is, where is Jesus?
So father and friend, often Jesus will be the friend or the brother with us. Right now we're focusing on these relationships because they're so close in that we can kind of recognize them. So we're just kind of talking about father and friend right now. Thank you for mentioning that because I did forget to mention this doesn't cut off any of the other roles that God has with us. King, shepherd, sovereign, guide, leader, protector, defender, all the other things. And so often Jesus, people will relate to him as a friend. I often picture coming into the Father's house when I'm in the Gospels, I will really focus on what Jesus is doing because we can also think of the verse in Hebrews that says, when you saw the Son, he's the exact representation of the Father. So when we see Jesus in action, that's how the Father, that's his heart in action. I'm going to go ahead and move on right now a little bit because there's a key skill I want you to get and then we're going to practice it some. Wait a minute, I have 4 and 5 sitting up here somewhere. 4 is behind me. This kind of praying takes too much time. I don't have space for this. Now, hopefully, after you all have moved to Panama, you do have a little bit more space. But the reality is this often does take a little bit more time. I'm not going to gloss over that and say, oh, no, it's going to happen just on the fly. It does take a little bit more time. I have found it's often time well spent. For me, it's a worthwhile investment of my time. There have been times I have been distracted enough, didn't want to take the time, but when I do, something really good happens. And I think we've already dealt with this one. I haven't the faintest clue what I'm listening for when I try to hear God. I just get static and I don't hear anything. So that's when you practice discerning, recognizing that small thought that might be in the back of your mind or a picture that might come into your mind or an idea that comes into your mind. And again, it might be faint and it might be small, but go ahead and grab onto it and just kind of risk putting it into words. I was teaching this once to a church group with a bunch of families. There were probably 25 adults and kids of all ages. In the middle of us, there was a little 5-year-old on the floor, and he was coloring. I thought he was ignoring everything that we were doing. And when I asked the group, I said, okay, what's it like when we hear from God? The 5-year-old pipes up, and he says, you get a thought in your head and a feeling in your stomach. I was like, okay, well, that's pretty good. Don't always get the feeling in my stomach, but sometimes you do get kind of a sense or a feeling. And I love the simplicity of that. You get a thought in your head and a feeling in your stomach. And then he went back to coloring. I was like, okay, well, let's listen to the kid. So the key thing that I want to make sure that we get when we're listening for God and we're practicing doing that, A, reply. When God says something, reply. That's what makes it a dialogue. Always reply. When he says something to you in Scripture, reply. That's what makes it a conversation. A conversation is back and forth. When somebody says something, you have to reply. Right, Sandra? She replied. It was a conversation. So when somebody says something, you say something back. So when God speaks, reply. When you say something to him, give him space to reply. It doesn't mean he always will in the moment. You're not in control of God. It's not like, I kind of had this concern of, oh, am I trying to like say, well, I can get God to speak whenever I want to. No, I'm not going to do that. The reality is that I found that God is more eager most of the time to speak to me than I am to listen to him. It's usually for me not been an issue that God doesn't want to speak to me. He may not want to talk about the one thing I want to talk about in the moment, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to speak to this kid. So he does want to speak. So reply is important. But then the thing I want to emphasize is to receive what God says. Receive what God says. And a lot of times, this is kind of a technical term, a technical kind of counseling term, so I want to describe what it is, because this is going to make all the difference in you and God. What often happens is God wants to say something to us like, tell me your name in the blue shirt. Gail. Gail, I love you so much. And I'm not saying Gail does this, I'm just using this example. And Gail might go, I know. Or Gail might go, oh, I think that was me. I don't think that was God. Or Gail might go, yeah, God loves everyone. None of that let what God said go in. And so if you wonder, how come I know God loves me, but it doesn't really affect me at all? Part of it is you're not letting it go in. It's not taking time to go in. So when God says something, receive it, let it go in. And here's how to let it go in. First of all, notice what he said. Let it affect you. So kind of stop and say, okay, God said I love you. How does that affect me? I'm passing around lists of common emotions. Because when I say, how does it affect you? I literally mean, how do you feel? And most of us are really, really bad at emotions, especially analytical women and most men. I'm an analytical woman. A lot of men are lousy at emotions. Even a lot of women who think they're great at emotions, they're great at displaying emotion, but they're not necessarily great at identifying what they're feeling. So they can go on and on and on about ranting about something, but they can't tell you what I'm feeling right now is rejected, and that's why I'm ranting. So we're usually, none of us are all that good at emotion. So when I say let it affect you, I mean let it come into your heart and notice how it makes you feel. That's all I have. So when you're doing that, the feeling doesn't have to be positive. Now it's real simple to say, oh, if God says I love me, then I have to say, oh, I love you too. That's what it means to receive it. I have to be all joyful and I have to be happy and I have to be this wonderful Christian, because when God says I love you to a Christian, it makes him feel real good. Well, sometimes it doesn't. So what I'm asking you to be here is honest. I'm asking you to be honest. So when God says I love you, it might make you feel pressured. It might make you feel embarrassed. It might make you feel skeptical. It might make you feel regretful. So there's a lot of things that can happen in us when somebody says, I love you. It might scare you. So however it makes you feel, whether it makes you feel warmed and cared for and wanted and secure, or it makes you feel wary and unsure, tell that to God. Tell God, when you say that, I feel. And then give God space to respond to you. When you do that, you're changing the conversation with him into the heart level, and that's where relationship is going to happen. This is really important. This is where relationship is going to happen. And I have to say, we are terrible. We are terrible at this. We are terrible at letting somebody say something to us and having that thing sink in and affect us. We want to go, oh, I know, you love everyone. You love everyone. And God's going, no, Sandra, I love you. And Sandra might say, that makes me feel angry, because how come you didn't say that to me 10 years ago when I really needed to hear it? Now, that might sound like, oh, that's not receiving, but that is. She's trusting God enough to be honest with him about where she really is, and she's staying there with him and giving him a chance to reply to her. That's where relationship grows. So receiving just means where you are, and Anne, I think I can use you for this, what you said on Sunday, where Anne was just told us on Sunday how God said, I love you, and how did it make you feel? The negative ones are over here. It made her feel tense.
Pressured.
Tense and pressured and a little bit irritated.
Yes.
So her response to God would have been, God, when I hear you say I love you, I feel tense, pressured, and irritated. That's honest. That means a relationship can go somewhere from there. And it's okay to say that. Or you can say, God, when I hear you say I love me, it doesn't affect me at all. I don't feel anything. Wish I did, but I don't. I wish I felt cared for, but I don't. It's still honest. You're still talking with God. God can still go there with you. This is where relationship is going to start to happen. I'd also encourage you to do this when you're in the scripture. And you read something in scripture that makes you praise God or that makes you feel something. Receive it and respond to God out of how it affects you. So go ahead and say, God, when I see this about you in scripture, I feel sad for you when those people rejected you. Or I feel encouraged to feel like this is the kind of God you are. Or I feel confused that you would do something like that. So you are replying to him, you're taking it in, you're receiving it, and then you're replying to him out of it. And I gotta say, this is a little bit mechanical. It's going to feel a little bit mechanical. I literally want you to say, God, when I hear you say, I feel. And because if you don't do that, you won't receive. And there are many, many times that I've been talking with God, and he said something, often something very kind, that I feel like is too good to be true. And he said something like that to me, and I'm like, and I just go on talking. I just go right on talking. And he'll say, don't you want to receive that? I'm like, yes. God, when you say, I feel, and I gave you that list of emotions because I had to have that list of emotions next to me because I didn't know what emotions were. I didn't know how to put words to my emotions. And I didn't know what I felt. But it's so startling when you go, wow, God, when you say X, I feel bitter. Whoa, I didn't know that. God, what's that about? It's important to know this is where your relationship with God is going to change. This is where if you had parenting that needed to be corrected and you start being honest like this with God, it begins to open up your heart to him and let him say, this is how I am. So God, when you say that I need to do this with so-and-so, I feel pressured to obey and I feel like I'm bad and guilty and condemned. And then God can say, oh, kid, I don't condemn you. My son took all the condemnation for you. I am asking you to transform, but I'm going to be there with you in the middle of it. And he can parent you when you're honest and you're saying what's really going on. And I'm emphasizing this again and again and again because this is not a normal thing for us that we do by habit. And unless you make a point of it, it's not going to happen. I also found that this is one thing that slowed my conversation with God down enough for it to begin to transform me. So this is transformative. Yes? For me, I write it down because I'm doing it in writing. If I were doing it aloud, I would say it aloud. So pretty much, and the only reason, it's not like the words are magical or anything. It's just I'm giving you a formula because I needed help. This was not a relationship skill that I had. And most of us don't have it. And I can guarantee the reason, I can show you how most of us don't have this, because what if I say, what is your name? Kelly. Kelly, that is a beautiful top you have on. I just love it. It makes your eyes really pop. See, it's thank you. It's really hard. A lot of times somebody gives us a compliment and we're like, oh, I bought this for $8. It was this great bargain. Did you notice how if she were to say that, she didn't reply to me at all? She just let what I said just roll right off of her. This is why you can be saying, not that I've ever done this, about, for me, it's not my nose. Oh, I just hate my nose so much. I can't have a terrible nose, et cetera, et cetera. And somebody goes, oh, no, you have a beautiful nose. I love your nose. And maybe you have a body, something like that. And I don't know if men have this conversation. Women have had this conversation a million times. Guarantee every man and every woman in this room knows it. And men, you've heard your wives do this. And you try to tell them, no, you're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, you have a great nose. And nothing changes. You know why? They didn't receive it. They didn't let it go inside. They didn't let it affect them. And the reason was something else is lodged there that says, I don't have a. So receiving it honestly lets us know sometimes there's something lodged inside that I need to deal with because something can't get past this. Because people have told me 100 times I'm beautiful and I won't hear it. I refuse to believe it, which means there's something else sitting there. So receiving is going to show you when there's even a cement block that's sitting there that won't let something go in. Because you're like, it should affect me to hear that I'm beautiful, but it doesn't. Well, then something's inside that's blocking that ability. So this one skill of hearing, noticing how it makes you feel, even if it's nothing, and then honestly responding about how it makes you feel. Side note, husbands and wives, if you'll risk practicing this with each other in marriage, this will take your communication to a different place. Some of you are grinning going, I'm not sure I want to go to that place. Because you can imagine where it would take your communication. Do you see how this shifts relationship? This one thing is going to shift relationship in ways. So even begin practicing this. Next time somebody gives you a compliment, risk saying, and now I'm going to have to do this if somebody says, oh, it was so great this morning. I'm going to have to say, thank you. I am so encouraged to hear that. Rather than something else that I might say just to let it flow off. So practice letting something go in. And Buddy's kind of smiling at me right now. This is something again and again and again and again. He said to me, Connie, you're not receiving. Connie, you're not letting it go in. Connie, you're not letting it change you. And when I began doing that, that's when I became transformed. That's when stuff began transforming me. Because the point of talking with God, it's lovely, but we want to deepen relationship, and that relationship should be transformative. There, the results of communicating with God in this way, it's not just pleasant and nice, it is transformative. There are areas of my life that are radically different in my ability to love and be loved, in my ability to obey, in my ability to respond to what God wants, that are very different because we've been communicating this way. That if I had just tried harder, which was my old mode, it wouldn't have happened. But I let it go in and let it transform. Questions? Any quick questions? Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm. Mm. You know, like if you're going to try to relate to a father, I didn't have a positive relationship with a father. So to put God in that same realm was very difficult for me to reply to and ask the questions and everything. And I have to say, on the list of these names being put on the list, and to really look at those, if you look at those, then I would have to say, that wasn't my father. So God is a different person. He's not the same.
Yeah.
But I have to say that the other thing that was so positive about it in the class was being able to later go back and look at the changes and answer prayer.
Yes.
Yeah. It's very important. But to see how he answers that prayer and to see the difference. Because I couldn't even write the word Father down when they said write a letter in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. It is that transformative. She's saying that seeing these names on the board, she can recognize that if she had put her own father's characteristics up on the wall, it wouldn't match that. And then that she's not a journaler by nature, but because she had it written down, she could go back and she could read it later because she would forget. And she could see that God really had done some shifts and changes. One thing I've also had to do, along with the characteristics of knowing who God is, I have a separate list of who God is not. And when I find myself thinking something about him, that he's harsh, or that he's unkind, or that he's unresponsive, or he's uncaring, or that he's just wants me to be happy, or any of the other misconceptions we can have about him, I have a list of what he's not. So you may need to write your own customized list of this is what God isn't. Because you'll find yourself defaulting to your misperceptions of who he is. What you have in front of you is what we're going to do for our last few minutes here, which is just practice receiving. And I have given you a scripture passage. And so this is you receiving this scripture passage. And I want you to put your name where it says, dear so-and-so. No, it doesn't say so-and-so, but the dear blank there in the middle. I want you to put your name in that blank. And then here's a scripture passage that I've personalized from God to you. And then below that, you're going to write a letter back to God. And I've given you the prompt. When I hear you say this to me, I feel or I wish I felt. And I've given you a list of words by the side there. And so tell God how it honestly makes you feel, good, bad, indifferent, mediocre, otherwise, whatever. And then just go on and reply to that and then give him some space to reply to you. So I'm going to read to you aloud what God is saying to you. Dear son, dear daughter, let your soul find rest in me alone, for your hope comes from me. I alone am your rock and your salvation. I am your fortress. You will not be shaken. Trust in me at all times. Pour out your heart to me, for I am your refuge. One thing I have spoken. There are two things I want you to hear from me. I, your God, am strong, and I, your Lord, am loving. I, the Lord your God, am with you. I am mighty to save. I take great delight in you. I quiet you with my love. I rejoice over you with singing. With all my love, your father and friend. And then just take a few moments to notice how that affects you. Find the emotions on the list. And then write back to him and tell him how that affects you. Still in the middle of writing, and that's fine. We're not going to take time probably to finish him right now because we have such a large group. I would encourage you to go home and to finish what you're saying to God and to feel free to be perfectly honest with him. About what's going on, because it's that honesty from the heart, that's where the relationship begins to grow. I gave you to start with, a scripture to start with, and you know that that's something that God is saying to you, so you can respond to it. There are times when it's very difficult for us to hear what God might want to say to us. And so you can get started just by kind of saying, God, I'm not sure what you would want to say to me here right now, but I think if you wanted to speak to me right now, you might say X, Y, or Z. So I know, for instance, you're in the middle of a great worrying situation. You might be able to say, God, I don't think I can hear you right now, but I do think that knowing who you are, I might be able to say, well, I think you'd want to tell me, my child, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Because I know that that's the kind of thing you say to people when they're worried and scared. And you're not saying, oh, I'm hearing that from God. You do know that you're saying, I think God might be saying this. But it gives you kind of a little bit of a priming the pump based on what you know of Scripture and what you know of God in order to be able to kind of get started a little bit hearing from him. again, you're not kind of saying, well, I'm going to put words in God's mouth. You're just saying, I know from what I know of God and what I know of Scripture, here's the kind of God he is in a place like this. If you had a bad father, don't let your father's voice ring in your head while you do that. That's just a warning to you. If you had a difficult relationship with your own father, and if he were to say to you, well, just shape up and you'll get out of it, that's not God's tone of voice. That's not what your heavenly father is going to say. So just picture that wall again. What would a God who is like that say to you in a place like this? And sometimes that can just help us begin to prime the pump a little bit in our hearing. There are times when I was first especially beginning to learn to interact with God like this, there were times I would go to Buddy and I'd be like, he'd be like, well, what do you think God might say? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea. And he would help me. And I'd be like, oh, really? God says stuff like that? I honestly didn't know God could be that good or that kind or that loving or that present. And I needed somebody who knew that to kind of help me prime the pump. There are people in this room who know that about God and who can help you do that if you get super stuck. So there are people, you go to Lori, go to Buddy, go to somebody, go to, give me two other names. Do you have two other names? Yeah, and they can help you. If you just can't even imagine what a good, loving, kind, present, protective, caring, generous, powerful, wonderful, affectionate, humorous, dependable, supportive, intimate, sensible, and articulate father would say, they can help you. That's one of the reasons I want to leave those signs up there, because sometimes I need to get my own perception out of my head, and I literally will do, well, what would a gentle, caring, loving, genius, generous, powerful, creative, humorous, understanding, present, wise father say when a kid said something like this to him? That helps put me in the mode where I'm going to be able to hear God more accurately. That's one of the reasons to know what those things are. That's an excellent idea. What's your name? Gina just took a picture of that wall. Take a picture of the walls to take with you if you need a reminder of who God is and what he might say. So anybody want to share what that was like for you or what happened with you when you were responding to God like that? With what we just did in the exercise? Was it easy? Was it difficult? Yes? Yeah.
What I missed is that I didn't have that, or had not, because I didn't belong to a family that was in the ministry.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was a good grief for that loss. But then, vulnerable, especially vulnerable because of kind of trusting, which is not in my nature to do. Because I'm hurt. God loves me, but, be hurt. And then it moved into, being longing, hopeful, and hurt.
That's wonderful. It started out with grieving because she hadn't experienced this and she had missed out on this for so long. Longing. I missed one in the middle there.
It went from grieving to vulnerable.
Grieving to vulnerable. It does make you vulnerable to hear someone say, I love you. And you men know what I'm talking about, and probably most of you women know what I'm talking about. It can scare us to death. When somebody says, I love you, we start backing off so fast. We don't want to get anywhere close to anything that's touchy-feely. And I'm saying this as a woman who I had lodged in me, I have to be strong and invulnerable, and I can't show emotion. And so somebody wanting to say, I love you, is like, well, I don't know what to do with that. I'm out of my comfort zone here. And so they're like, yeah, you too. So I just want to... If there's men in the room going, oh, I hate this, I get it. I get it. I also want to encourage you that if you will live with the discomfort, it will transform you. So if you will be able to have to endure the discomfort, you can walk onto a path of a different way. And it is, I'm not going to, you know, for those of us who have been shut down emotionally, this can be extremely uncomfortable. It's okay. It's okay. I had to learn I could live through feeling somewhat uncomfortable, but yeah, it's going to be okay. And was there something, did I see a hand? I thought you had your hand up. I'm sorry. I was imagining that. Anybody else who experienced something or has something to share? Yes.
The first thing I said was actually not on the list.
Thankful. The first way he thought was not one that I had on the list, which was thankful. And that's wonderful to identify that and go, ah, I'm thankful. This is what I'm feeling. So don't feel, I'm using negative examples of feeling uncomfortable or anything, but there are also, because it's so hard for us to express that. We think we have to be positive. So I don't want to thank you for bringing that up, because I don't want to ignore that being able to tell God, I feel loved and comforted and thankful that this is the kind of God you are, and this is who you are to me. It's going to increase relationship. Just opening your heart like that, risking doing it, and it's far less risky to do it with that God and that God than it is to do it with a human being that you're not sure how they're going to respond to you. So this is the safest place possible to open your heart and risk being that honest. But doing that with that level of honesty will begin to take your relationship with God to a new place. So we want to learn to hear God accurately, but hearing God accurately also means hearing his heart accurately. He is love itself. He is our Father. He's our friend. He's our brother. He's our king. He's our sovereign. He never communicates apart from his nature, and his nature is love. So we've had a lot of people communicate with us without love. God cannot do that because he's love himself. So if you are hearing tone of voice that has no love in it, then ask God to expand your ability to discern also the love that he has for you. So I want to pray that for you, and I'm going to get it wrong. Can I borrow your Bible here? I should know this by now. I want to pray this over us. And there are so many ways to practice this. I told Lori at the break that I'm hoping that she has to start another class very soon to help people go through all this. But I want to pray for you the prayer that helped me. I soaked in this prayer, and this helped me transition out of my false views of God into a God who was like this for me. Ooh, is this the Amplify? Ooh, nice. This is Ephesians 3, and I'm in verses 14 through 17, or 20, or however far this goes. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, and I ask that he would grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in your inner man and your inner woman by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. And may Christ, through your faith, actually settle down, abide, dwell, and make his permanent home in your heart. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to grasp hold of and take hold of with all the saints, God's devoted people, who experience that love, what is the breadth and height and length and depth of God's love, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God, and that you may have the richest measure of God's divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to him who, in consequence of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purposes and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, To him be glory in the church and Boketti Bible Fellowship and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen. So, Brian, I'm going to turn it over to you. Blessings on you. Go home and talk to God and give him space to talk to you.